We're going to turn now to Mark Anthony Neal, professor of Black popular culture at Duke University. And Mark Anthony, I'm told that you recall seeing Aretha perform live for the first time when you were something like 5 years old.
My parents took me to see Aretha Franklin at the Apollo Theater in 1971. She did a week-long stay there at the Apollo Theater. Famously, you'll see on the facade, there are photos of it. She's home. Aretha Franklin. And that wasn't my first introduction to her, but that was the first time, of course, I had a chance to see her live.
You were a lucky kid. The term Queen of Soul almost seems an understatement for the impact that she had over the decades. Could you define her impact?
I would argue Queen of Soul is really a misnomer. She came to prominence, obviously, as kind of the face of soul music as it became this mainstream cultural phenomenon. But, I describe her as the greatest American singer of the 20th century, in part because of her mastery of multi-genres. So this is a woman who, of course, comes up in the Black church, but she's also deeply steeped in the blues. She also has a capacity to sing gospel, as we know, soul music. But she also was adept at singing jazz. She could sing pop standards alongside Barbra Streisand, who was her label mate in the 1960s before she moved to Atlantic. When she does that time at the Fillmore West, she's singing, basically hippie rock music to an audience of hippies. I mean, she had this capacity to be able to own any song and any genre in which she added her voice to.
Well, Mark Anthony, the one she probably truly owned, brought it home and owned it, was, of course, Respect. And I just want your thoughts on that. We're going to listen to a little. Written and originally released by Otis Redding in 65, he sang it as a man. He wanted respect when he got home from his woman. She takes it in 67, gives it a whole new spin, adds the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Let's just listen.
What you want?
She added the Sakatumi, that was her version. And this was before the women's movement, had really taken steam. It's almost like she propelled it with this song.
Yeah, you always have to remember, it is Otis Redding's song.
Right.
The way that she literally stops and spells out respect, even though it wasn't a political song, it had resonance amongst African Americans as a political song,
right,
and obviously becomes an obvious reference when we start to see the women's movement find its own footing in the late 1960s and early 1970s. Otis Redding famously said, after he heard her version of the song, "That gal done stole my song." But then he goes, "She's a friend, so it's okay."
She had, of course, really deep roots in gospel. She would perform at the Baptist churches where her father was preaching. Let's listen to one particular song. I know you like this one, "Mary, Don't You Weep." She's performing here with the Southern California Community Choir. Tell us what you hear in that.
"Mary, Don't You Weep" was a classic recording done by the Caravans in 1958. Caravans were gospel music's first supergroup. Within them, they had Inez Andrews. They also had Shirley Caesar. The pianist for the group was the Reverend James Cleveland. And so she's in this church in Los Angeles, basically returning to her gospel roots and paying tribute to all the folks who had helped her become the voice that she became. Sitting in the front row was the great Clara Ward, who was her greatest influence. Clara Ward of the Clara Ward Singers, she was Aretha's greatest influence. So this is an opportunity for her, at the height of her fame, to acknowledge the roots that her career was grounded in.
I'm thinking, Lisa, we should ask listeners. We'd love to know what your favorite Aretha Franklin song is. I'm thinking, "Think," "Don't Play That Song," she sang "Oh Christmas Tree." But you wanted to hear "Bridge Over Troubled Water." Let's listen to her version of Simon and Garfunkel's hit.
When you're look up and see yourself on the street.
Recorded live at Fillmore West, 1971. Mark Anthony, she made songs her own.
Yes. I mean, again, as you said, this is a Simon and Garfunkel song. She does Three Nights at the Fillmore West in 1971. Jerry Wexler, who was a producer at the time, literally says, let's go conquer the hippies. And so in this crowd of hippies, literally, she takes standards of that era and transforms them into something that was just something else. That same three-night stand at Fillmore West, she does a song called Spirit in the Dark, in which she's joined on stage by Ray Charles. It is just an amazing tribute to who she was and who she was able to reach. And she earned a whole new audience with that successful stand at the Fillmore West in 71.
We heard in the previous story that incredible performance, or part of it, from 2015. Hard to believe it was just 3 years ago at the Kennedy Center Awards honoring Carole King. And Aretha was singing the song that King and Jerry Goffin wrote for her in Natural Woman. Yeah. It was, I mean, if anybody hasn't seen the video, it is really breathtaking. But there are so many classic songs, beautiful songs, one including this one, I Never Loved a Man. This was by Ronnie Shannon. So one final question. We only have about 30 seconds left. Tell us what younger listeners of today have to learn about how Aretha worked songs like that one.
She performed for 60 years. She had a 60-year career. And even as her voice changed and matured and became more weathered, it sounded different. But she was in such control of her instrument that she still was absolutely brilliant. As we heard in 2015.
Mark Anthony Neal of Duke University. Just thank you so much.